what a day to start the new years as Christian, God's people come together and worship God in this Sabbath day. Every Sabbath, since I became aware of it, is a glorious day for me. And I wait for that moment, by God's grace, that I be there in heaven to hear our Master, our preacher. So, this Sabbath day, in the time of Jesus, when he celebrated, it became a high day, because it fell, as the evangelist John, in chapter 19, verse 31, he called it a high day, because the Passover fell on the Sabbath day. And it says, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that day was a high day. So that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating the Passover, which is a high day for us also. Today we are celebrating also the day of creation, when the Sabbath was established as a day of rest and worship. And also we're celebrating the day of our deliverance from the bondage of sin. That through Christ's redemption, we become new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. As God's Holy Spirit speaks to us and tells us what is right and what is wrong, we see the evil of sin, its powers working. We feel the guilt and sorrow, the consequences that follows because of sin. Sin becomes hateful and ugly, for it has separated us from God, as it separated the Son of God when he was dying on the cross, bearing on his shoulders the sins of the human race. Isaiah exclaimed in the chapter 59, chapter verse 2, but your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. The power of evil has made us slaves. The more we try to escape, the more we know that we cannot help ourselves. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. We need that power to overcome the power of darkness. And that power is only found in Jesus. Without me, you can't do nothing. We see that our lives have been filled with selfishness. We see that our lives, our heart is unclean. We see that our desires are not pure. We want to be forgiven, to be clean, to be set free. But how we can do it? How we can do that? To be one with God and to be like Him and set free. It is peace that we need. Heaven's forgiveness and peace and love. A lot of people spend a lot of money to have that peace in their heart and in their mind. But money can't buy that peace. Silver and gold are worthless. The mind cannot find it. Being wise will not provide it. We hope to receive this peace by what we do, but nothing will work with our own ability. God offered His peace to us as a gift. It will cost us nothing. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 55, verse 1. Chapter 55, verse 1. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that had no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. So God encourage us to come and buy what heaven has to offer. To have that peace. Even when Jesus was on this earth, He offered men of all ages, past, present and future, the peace. And He left us this promise. In John chapter 14 verse 27 says, "Peace I have leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this is a promise from Christ that let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because Jesus said, "I be with you to the end of the world." This peace is ours if we will reach out our hands and take it. That's what we have to do. When we confess our sins and put them out of our heart, we have decided to give ourselves to God. Now, we go to Him and ask Him to wash away our sins. The Lord says, "Come now and let us reason together," said the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We ask Him to give us a new heart. Then believe that He does this for us. Because He has promised. Through Ezekiel 36, verse 26, the promise is, alright, Ezekiel 36, verse 26. Chapter 36, verse 26. "A new heart also I will give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." So when we confess our sins and put them out of our heart, we have decided to give ourselves to God. Now we had asked Him to give us a new heart. And then we believe that He does this because He has promised. And Jesus taught this lesson to His disciples when he was on the earth and said to them, "You must believe that you receive the gifts, God's promises, and that it is yours. We must believe that the promises of God are ours." Jesus healed the sick. Jesus healed the sick people who had faith in his powers. After healing them, they were able to see that he could help them in other ways. That he can forgive their sins and led them to believe in his powers, that he could forgive their sins. Jesus explained this when he was healing a sick man and said unto him, "You may know that the Son of Man had power on the earth to forgive sins. Arise, take up your bed and go to your house." And the paralytic arose and departed to his house. And Jesus done all sorts of miracles to heal the sick and bring them to repentance. But the scribes and the Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemies, that he meet with the publicans and sinners and eat with them. And the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus on what authority, what right he has to do all these things and to forgive sins. Because, as we know, and they did know, that only God could forgive sins. As we said, touch a little bit this morning, but the Pharisees and the scribes didn't believe on Jesus. So they asked him this question, on what authority you have? And Jesus answered them and said, "I came to heal the sick. They need a physician. But the ones that are not sick, they do not need a physician. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I do not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repent, to repentance." And John in his Gospel in the 20th chapter, verse 31, he wrote, "But these things are written in order that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that thou, your believing through your faith, you might have eternal life through his name." We must believe and act upon it. And another example how we should believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, the story of the sick man at the pool of Bethsaida. The poor man was helpless. He had not walked for 38 years. Yet Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, pick up your mat and walk." The sick man did not say, "Lord, if you make me whole, I will obey your words." No, he did believe Christ's word. He believed he was made whole that very moment, and he chose to walk, and he did walk. He acted on the words of Christ, and God gave him the power to walk. The man was healed. And that's how it should be with us too. When we ask for something, we have to believe that God will give it to us. We need to have that faith before we get up from our knees that God will hear us. Especially, there is no lingering, what's the right word to find, when we ask God to forgive our sins. That very moment, our sins, if we truly repent in our heart, God will forgive our sins. We also are sinners. We can do nothing to take away our past sins, or change our heart, or make ourselves holy. But God's promises is to do all this for us through Christ Jesus. Believe in the promises and give ourselves to God. Choose to serve Him and will surely keep His promises if we do this. When we believe, God will act. He will make us whole. We do not wait to feel that we are made whole, but says, I believe it. It is so. Not because I feel it, but because God has promised to heal us, to heal me, especially from our spiritual diseases. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verse 24, he wrote, Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. But the most important thing in this promise is that we must pray for those things that God wants us to have. God wants us to be free from any bondage that keeps us away from Him. He wants us to live a holy life. He wants us to go to Him without shame and blameless. He wants us to stand before Him clean. He wants us to continually to live in union with Him. Therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but the Spirit. Romans 8, verse 1. When we belong to Christ, we do not own ourselves. For we are bought with a high price, the priceless life of the blood of the Lamb. As Peter tried to convince his hearers to walk straight and be holy in their conduct, in his first epistle, he wrote, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, and your vain conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious price, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spots. Because we believe in God, the Holy Spirit creates a new heart in our hearts, we are children born into the royal family of God, and He loves us as His own sons and daughters, as He loves His own Son. When we have given ourselves to Jesus, surrender our will to Him, day after day, repeat the words, I belong to Christ. I am with Christ. I belong to Him. I have given myself to Him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him. When we accept Him, we should live in union with Him. Ask Him for the blessings that He promised us to receive them. Ask Him for His grace and the Spirit of Christ. Ask Him to help us to overcome our weaknesses. He loves us. He likes to have us come to Him just as we are, especially when we are helpless and needy, and when we let down our guard and be a prey, a victim in Satan's hands. But Jesus still wants us back to fall at His feet in sorrow for our sins. He will anxiously wait to put his arms around us and love us and to heal our wounds and make us clean. Thousands fail to believe that Jesus does not pardon each person. They do not believe what he says. Every person who truly repents can know for himself that God freely pardons every sin. We should not fear. God's promises are meant for us. They are there to take advantage of them. They are for every sinner who is sorry for his sins. Christ sends angels to bring strength and grace to every believing person. Even the most sinful person can be strong, pure, and righteous by the help of Christ, who died for us, who died for every person. God treats everyone with the same measure. Therefore, there is no respect of person with God. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but a long-suffering to us ward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As I have said before, God is prompt without delay. He is quick to respond to rescue the perishing if they respond, submit to his will. It has to be our choice to submit to God. God doesn't force us, and he can't make any choices for us. Have to be our choice who we should follow, either Jesus or Satan's way. There is eternal reward if we follow God, and eternal destruction if we follow the devil. God does not treat us the way we treat one another. He thinks of us with love, mercy, and pity. There is always the call for the sinner to come back to God. In Isaiah 55, verse 7, God says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So there is no limit with God to pardon us. And as the clouds disappear from heaven, are swept away from the sky, and turns into a bright day, God compares this when he pardons our sins. I have blotted out this Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. You can have a look at that, because this actually is a good example how God pardons our sins. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Yes. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. So, God compares our sins as a thick cloud. Sometimes you see large cloud, very heavy, like dark. because it carries a lot of water. It's ready to explode and pour its water. And that's how God compares our sins. But when the cloud pours its water and then the sky is clear, it's a bright day. And that's how we become when God forgives our sins. And also in Ezekiel 18 verse 32, "For I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord," that is the spiritual death, "therefore turn and live," Ezekiel 18:32. Millions of people perished and died with the guilt that they can't be forgiven, because they believe that their past sins, that they pass their forgiveness. Their sins are too great to be forgiven. God will never forgive such great sinners like them. And great majority of the people, they do not know how to go to God. And their sins, with their sins, because they never been taught. And I was one of them also. Brought up as Catholic, I used to confess my sin to a man and not to God. And as you know, and I know now, that a man have no power to forgive sins. I also grew up with guilt, as the majority grew up with, that we are going to burn in the eternal fire throughout eternity. That's how I was taught. That's how we were taught. But then when God called me to this beautiful message and the true understanding of His word, I was set free. Jesus set me free. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." Brothers and sisters, do not ever tamper with the scriptures, with the word of God. Unless it is, "Thus said the Lord, and to the law and the testimony, if they not speak according to this word, because there is no light in them." Isaiah chapter 8 verse 20. If we nourish ourselves with the word of God, study His word, God will give us the knowledge and understanding of His word. God gave us a message to follow. Let no one deceive you with vain, empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. That was Ephesians 5, verse 6, and also Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. In Matthew 24, verse 24, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect." The error, especially in our last days, it is so close to the truth that even if possible, the elect will be deceived. So God is calling us to follow. He gave us a message to follow. To love God and love each other as thyself. God is calling us to make our pathway straight. Let us not what Christ has done for us be in vain. He left his quarters of heaven to be a man like us, suffered and was crucified with the penalty of death, to save you and me from the eternal destruction. Let not our redemption through Christ Jesus be in vain, but a victory of the cross with a crucified Savior, a victory of redemption, that you and I will have also a victory through His redemption. Amen.